Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count for your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 135, episode 4 of Der Daily Zeitgeist!
Oh, yeah.
It's actually episode 5, Jack. Production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness and say, no, it's 4. I'm an idiot. Oh, well. fuck the Koch brothers and fuck Fox News. It's Friday, May 29th, 2020. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. with these COVID thighs. I'm stuck indoors and I'm eating pies. I've got COVID thighs. I eat the pasta between you and I with these COVID thighs. Now that fried chicken is in my sights with these COVID thighs. Yeah, you get it. It's from Official Dickhead, and I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray!
Isolators! Mount up.
It was a clear black night, a clear white moon. Miles G is off the streets trying to consume fat blunts for the eve just to get in the zone. Never go outside, chilling all alone.
Just hit the Zoom app on my old PC on a mission trying to find Mr. Miles G. Got a week full of pods, ain't no need to twitch. All you skirts know what's up with Jacko, bitch.
Okay, shout out to
that was actually Jerry what my bullies Trillium. Used to call me, Jacko Bitch.
Well, I was trying to, I wasn't sure if that was a shot at you or just using a little bit of toxic hip-hop masculinity there.
Yeah.
But yes, that was from Terry Trillium. Also, I realize that there are so many regulator AKAs that I have not given to, so you best believe I'm going to get to some of these regulator AKAs from years past.
I think a concept album is in order of just nonstop regulator. AKAs. Well, we're thrilled to be joined in our third seat by our co-host, Lil Zam herself, Jamie Loftus!
Quar Gang, meet the Quar Gang. We're a modern Stone Age family in the town of LA. I'm a guest host and my name's Jamie. Let's ride. With the Quar Gang in my Zamboni, with a mask and 6 feet apart, are we? When you're with the Quar Gang, have a cheesy egg that one time, your AKA will rhyme, you'll have a gay all time.
Woo!
I liked it.
She back.
That's from Katie. It was Katie's first AKA at the King Katie. Shouts out.
Katie, that was AKA. Great. Ties in with So I, after you mentioned Flintstones, I started seeing like these signs around LA, and it is like from the Stone Age to the Gemstones. It's like HBO Max, and they're bragging that they have the Flintstones.
Are they saying like we have the Righteous Gemstones
and the Flintstones,
John Goodman live action Flintstones, or the cartoon?
No, the live action. They're just basically trying to show off their range. Like, we have everything.
Well, you can also say that's quite a range of John Goodman projects alone.
Yeah,
the Flintstones.
Yeah. But all of their marketing is really, like, it's bad and punny like that. Like, there's another one where it's like, it has James Gandolfini, Chandler Bing from Friends, and then the dude with the weird hair from Big Bang Theory, Jim Parsons, is that his name?
Yeah, from Bazinga to Bada Bing.
No, it says where Bada meets Bing meets Bang.
Wow,
like, no, that's a pass. That's a pass on
that's
that.
That's a pass for me, dog.
That's it.
you can watch all my shitty Zamboni sketches. They put Robot Chicken on there, so that's fun.
There you go. So there's there someone there. Oh. Well, I mean, that library is dense. To say
yeah,
the least.
It's
like when
dense.
You look there, you're like,
extensive.
I watched Elmo's late night show. That's all I've watched so far.
Is it good?
No. Well,
what?
Yeah, it's good. I didn't love the Jimmy Fallon as the first guest, but it was really bad timing. And I think at the time maybe Elmo hadn't seen the sketch in question. And yeah. I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. But it was a bad day for Jimmy Fallon to be your first guest on a late night show. But other than that, it was great. Elmo had Casey Musgraves on. You know, I'm going to keep watching.
Elmo asked the tough questions too, famously.
Yeah.
Elmo, actually, Elmo I think is the one who Elmo, he broke that story.
I watched, I watched okay. a classic pre-Elmo Sesame Street, and it was way better than the modern Sesame Street. I think Elmo is he's a real head case who really brought the whole team down.
He
makes it all about
up,
himself.
He takes up too much real estate in the episode.
Yeah.
That's
yeah.
the problem.
Well, isn't Elmo a child technically? Like Elmo's
yeah, he's three
adult.
And a half.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And kids are so selfish
and they
just make it all about themselves.
This gave this toddler a late night show.
Right.
I want these kids learning from adult Muppets.
Yeah.
Well,
we are
thrilled to be joined in our fourth seat by the hilarious, the talented super producer Anna Hosnier.
Okay, I'm gonna try an AK for the first time.
Oh wow.
Set
the table.
When my family is missing, the rest don't matter. And that's all I have. But
All right.
It's because I've been listening to Maren Morris's The Bones, and naturally, you guys have spent time in an office setting with me, and maybe I don't have the most appropriate behavior at any point, but I do. When songs get stuck in my head, I have to change the lyrics, and the lyrics always
are your parent? Your someone's missing
yes.
in your family.
Yes, my lyrics always find themselves back to a person in either my entire family being missing or a person in my family being missing, and me being truly just.
But they've always been missing for like a long time.
Yeah,
too.
That's the problem. Yeah,
they've been missing for like years, and
yeah.
it's
you guys
it's always
very
strange.
It's always weird when you start to do, or I know you're about to do that bit, and there's like guests or other people who aren't in the fam in the office, and you're like, but here's the thing, Miles, I don't know if you know this about my family. I go, what, that they've been missing for 15 years? And you're like, yes. And then you do your
It's gotten me once or twice over the
And then
years.
She does her and then she'll be like, yeah, they've just been missing and I can't yeah. find them. And I'm like, I'm sorry, person, we're trying to make some kind yeah. of development deal with podcasts. Like, this is a bit.
You'd be like, sorry, there's actually a Dateline episode about it if you want to get caught up on what happened.
Yeah, so anyway.
Blew up our Fallon development deal. We almost had that guy.
He went straight to Elmo. It was bad.
Unfortunately, my family has been missing for years, and I don't know where they are. And that's kind of I don't know why, but that's kind of the gist of where my mind always goes.
That's
to
I love that that's
trauma.
Your brand.
My family's missing. Hi.
Anna, in addition to being a super producer, you're also one of my favorite podcast hosts in the world. You host Ethnically Ambiguous, which we've talked about before on this show. You also host a recap show called Deckheads.
Yes.
Dickheads?
It's about the Below Deck TV series, notoriously hated and loved by the fans. They cannot decide if they like me and Nick Turner's critiques on it, but there's something funny about the reactions we get.
Not watched Deckheads, and I still love Below Deck. I have not watched Below Deck, but I still love Deckheads.
Yeah, I mean, we get a lot of people who are like, oh my God, thank you for making this show watchable. And then other people being like, I just quit the show and now I'm just listening to you guys. And then other people being like, I have some bones to pick with your opinions on these characters. But they're always like, it's just a fun ride because you don't know what you're going to get. And people really love these characters, like to a point where you're like,
talk about parasocial relationships.
Huh. Yeah, I was like, well, you know, that guy's not a great guy, but I guess if you had to see him on a TV show over and over and over again, I mean,
you'd be slowly worn down.
Yeah, like there's a character that I started out being like, I don't think so. You are not a good person. And now I'm like, leave him alone. I guess I understand what they're coming from.
Name names.
Captain Lee. I struggled with Captain Lee for a long time.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Didn't you see him in that tell-all from the last season, the way he was being real dismissive when the one black crew member was like, I didn't feel comfortable the way things were being handled, like on the ship. Like,
my problem. Every episode. They're like, do you feel like your Chief Stu handled that sexual harassment situation good? And he's like, honestly, I think she did. If it had escalated further, she would have let me know and I would have turned the boat around.
Okay.
And you're like,
look,
there
you
is
can tell
some...
by my body, I used to be a weightlifter in my 20s.
There's just a lot of
that
blind
show, though,
spots.
It's funny because it's like a lot of people know Below Deck, but they don't talk about Below Deck. Like it's something you've come across, and maybe people don't. I don't talk about Below Deck, but I've seen damn near every episode. So I think for anybody who's seen the Bravo buffet of trash, you've sampled the deck.
Got your finger on the pulse.
It's a fun show, though. I really like boats, and I really like sailing and all that, and I just love, like, water sports, so it's fun to just watch people. And I feel like I've also really learned a lot about, like, being, like, a deckhand. Like, I'm always like, ooh, yeah, you're gonna have to give some slack on that line, or you're gonna hit the dock.
You're like, uh-oh.
So, anyway.
All right, Anna, we're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners a couple of the things we're talking about. We're going to have the rapper, former guest on this podcast, POS, Minneapolis's very own, on to talk to us about what's going on in his hometown. We are going to talk about what is going on in Pennsylvania amongst the local politicians there. We're going to talk about Trump hiding the economic forecasts, the difference between how MSNBC viewers and Fox News viewers are feeling during this crisis, Trump's quarantine merchandising strategy. We're going to figure out what we're going to rewatch. We're going to talk about Tom Cruise making a movie in space for some reason. All of that, plenty more. But first, Anna, what is something from your search history that's revealing about who you are?
Thank you so much for asking, Jack.
You're welcome.
Truly a pleasure.
Yeah. So, you know, as I was watching Below Deck Mediterranean season 3, and I didn't just casually make this is just truly what I ended up Googling, and it took me down a long hole. There were two characters on the show, one who grew up in Zimbabwe and one whose family was from Zimbabwe. And so I was like, Zimbabwe, I've never really thought about Zimbabwe much. And so I Googled Zimbabwe and went down like a Wikipedia hole. And after like 15 tabs later, I've discovered primitive technology. YouTube is a wild world. I like truly felt like a Chris Croft, and I was
like,
"Wait,
how did you get to what
was
the thing?"
Say, this is
Zimbabwe to primitive technology.
See, the thing
videos?
Is, it's technically those two things aren't connected. There was 15 tabs in between where I was like, just being like, "Oh, that's interesting. What is that? Oh, that's interesting. What is that? Oh, that's interesting. What is that? Oh, that's interesting. What is that?"
Do you remember the first branch that splintered off after Zimbabwe? Hold Zimbabwe on. Led to
yeah,
what?
Yeah, I was like, I'm trying to trace the,
I'm really
the
interested
red drilling
in
hole you're being taken on.
To primitive technology videos.
So I have all these tabs still open, so if you could excuse me for 35 minutes while I go back.
Primitive Technology is a YouTube channel that is where a guy from North Queensland like looks at technology from like how people made tools in history, I guess.
No. Basically, what it led to is these men building underground pools out of nature, basically. Strictly using, they would carve out underground, like beautiful underground pools using just like primitive technology and like a stick, not a stick, but it's some sort of like metal.
It's shovel.
It's a shovel, but it's, you know, it doesn't look like a shovel. It's, you know, it's before shovels have evolved into what they are today, but it's that. And then, but they build these pools underground by just carving it out of the clay. And then they also like use bamboo to like build a lounger, if you will. Oh, literally, cool. It's like to lounge in your pool area. And then they cement it in by using like, you know, water and mud and making clay. And then they get leaves and, you know, like the trees that let out that like kind of white milky substance. I forget. I don't really.
Yeah. So they like a lot of trees do that, but
yeah. So
like
they
when
use,
you break their leaves.
Yeah. So you use that, and then you mix it with leaves, and it creates like a green paint. So then they paint their pools green. Like it's all it's
that's dope.
And it's all sped up, so you're just sitting there. And I watched like 15 videos last night, and it is. I will link some. There are so many of them now. Like it. It's like Mr. Tofu, there's Jungle Survivor, there's Building Survival, there's all these different YouTube channels, and they're fascinating to watch these underground pools be made, and they're beautiful. And
oh,
they're,
you
like,
saw that
so
one where
well
the dude
done.
Made, that's like called like Millionaire Pool, yes. Done in like 1 week, where he had like a terrorist like pit pool, it was, and he did it with like, it really is remarkable when you see like... I'm like, fuck, I can't even do shit with power tools.
Yeah, and a part of me was like, damn, like, that's, it's probably so meditative as well, because one, it takes you 60 days to do it, and you just are doing a repetitive motion of, like, either digging or, like, carrying water from, like, a lake to your pool, and then you just have, like, a little tiny, like, jug, and that's what you're using to fill up your pool, and then, or, this is the wildest part, they create they create like piping with bamboo, where they create a piping system that comes from like a water source to their pool.
What?
So it's like, it could be like a mile long. I don't even know how long these things
plumbing,
are.
Plumbing, baby, plumbing.
Yeah, they create.
Jamie sounds skeptical. She thinks you're lying.
Jamie, I will send you these videos. It's a
such a journey to be taken on. It's
I
so
know.
Like.
Yeah, I did not go to bed till 3 a.m. I was really like, I was in it.
And I'm remodeling the interior of my house.
Yeah, so. I'm actually building
just
an underground
walls
pool.
Yeah. What is something you think is underrated?
I don't know. Maybe you guys have heard me talk about this often, but a good vacuum.
Yep.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
I love a good
primitive technology.
Yeah.
You get a new, vacuum cleaners are too expensive, though. I feel like it's one of those markets where they really have like their foot on your neck, because there's only so many people who make good ones. And so I have no perspective on how much it costs to make a good vacuum, but I'm like, there's no fucking way that it needs to cost that much.
I've arrived at a place where I've had to make the investment in a good vacuum, because over the course of my life, I have probably bought with my own money 8 vacuum cleaners.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, just because they're, and I always would be like, it would always be like, you know, you're like younger, you're moving into a place like, fuck, we need a vacuum cleaner. You go to Target or whatever and you get the cheapest motherfucking vacuum you can afford. Cut to, that thing is just not built to last. And I have pets and shit. So I just cruise Groupon and I wait for the wild Dyson refurbished thing to pop up, because oh my God, I have this Dyson refurb that I didn't spend a ton of money on. I got it for like half price basically. And the way it just eradicates all this pet hair and shit that I have to clean up and all these other messes. I can't advocate for a good vacuum enough, because over time you end up spending more than what you do
on
like up front
vacuums.
By having the good one. Yeah,
I just am skeptical of big vacuum. I feel like I think that a shitty vacuum costs like $30 to make, and a good vacuum costs $75 to make, and they don't got to charge you $500 for it.
Yeah,
sure.
You know, I mean, agree.
If you just watch one like video about how a Dyson works, I mean, it's fantastic marketing. But you're like, oh yeah, that compared to my like dirt devil that I used to have, like this
right. Oh yeah, I grew up with a dirt devil. They're just like loud and hot, and the dirt is still on the floor.
Right. That's the problem is when you're living with, like, I live with two cats and a dog, and my whole, like, my, within a week, my floor will be covered in cat litter. It will be covered in cat hair. It will be covered in whatever my dog Ace brings in from outside. Mostly those little weird little sticky things that get stuck all over his fur. Then it'll also be like cat nails that they were using or to like rip up my carpet. So they're like nails are everywhere. And, my life is a fucking mess, and it and I hate walking around being like like it just there's so much stuff everywhere that I have to vacuum at least once a week, and most people vacuum every day, honestly, but I'm lazy, but like once a week I have to do a full remodel of my floor. And just honestly, like Miles was saying, I'm spending too much on like I'll spend $80 on a vacuum, and that shit like it'll break.
If you have
break.
Pets, it's a fucking wrap.
Yeah,
it's a wrap. And now I'm reading fucking the James Dyson is like a pro Brexit fucking. Oh, Jesus.
No,
well, can't win anywhere.
You can't like you can't dive
primitive
deep
technology.
In that.
Show me the blueprints.
Yeah,
I like I like a rider vacuum. You know how people have like rider mowers? I like a rider vacuum.
Oh yeah, rider, like the like when you're the at the airport and
at
shit.
At the airport, yeah. The grocery store.
Is Joseph Dirt Devil's politics good? Because I'll go back to Dirt Devil.
Dirt Devil.
I'm just glad I went with a refurb through Groupon, so like there's that's profit's smart. Diluted by exponents.
I've been trying to get the same damn Groupon refunded for 3 months now. I'm
what?
So.
Your dentist?
I bought it on air. I think it was just you, me, and Lacey Miles a couple months ago. I bought the Britney Spears experience.
Oh yeah, the IG thing. Right.
Yeah, they won't refund it.
Oh right, because the shit's closed.
Ridiculous. I'm so mad.
We'll get that money back. Don't worry. We'll put some pressure on them.
Put some pressure.
What is something
on
you think is overrated, Anna?
The price of a good trash can. What the fuck? How dare you ask me to pay $150 for something I put trash in?
We're talking to you, simple human.
Any of them. They're so the expensive. It's trash. It's literally trash how much these trash cans cost. It's unbelievable.
Yeah. Are you talking about the ones with like moving parts where you like step on a pedal and it pops up?
Yes. If you want a lid on your trash can... That's not going to... I spent $40 on a trash can, which already I was like, this is absolutely out of control. I should not be spending $40 on trash, literally.
Mm-hmm.
And the lid fell off. It just stopped working one day. Every time I would press the little lever, a side of the lid would be like, bop, and pop up.
Yeah.
And then it was like...
Hey, that's why I got to spring the big bucks for the good
garbage
can. Yes,
but that's... Okay. A vacuum, I understand. Okay, it's technology. It's suction. It's cleaning your home. Mm-hmm. A trash can is an inanimate object. I mean, I guess a vacuum is also an inanimate. We'll get into that. But the trash can just sits there. Yeah. A vacuum just not a vacuum. A trash can just sits there. It adds nothing except for a place for you to put the things you don't want to look at anymore, and that makes me. It just annoys the shit out of me.
That's the thing is they're like, if you want like just the wild husky Rubbermaid one, like the shit we would have in high school, like with the big black bags you would throw shit into, those are, you know, relatively cheap because it's just like lid plus thing.
Yeah.
But that's gymnasium. But I get it. Trash cans.
Yeah. It's a fucking racket though, because you know, the second you put that in a consumer context and people are like, well, now aesthetics matter. It's like, see, you like this little brushed steel like handle here and the foot pedal or whatever.
It's not even
that's
that.
Why, try and find somebody that works for Simple Human. Shout out to one of my old coworkers. She was married to someone that worked at Simple Human, and they would get all the returns they could just come away with, and she would hook me up with garbage cans.
But that's things like most people don't have like gymnasium level space in their houses. Like I don't have a ton of space to have a giant like round trash can. Like I actually do need something that can just fit in a corner and not like take up a ton of space. Also, Simple Human, that's a racket because you then have to get Simple Human trash bags.
Hey.
You can't just go buy trash bags. You have to special order trash bags. That's wild.
Once people stopped using printers, the trash can industry adopted it. Big Trash adopted that model of getting you with the printer cartridges. And finally, what is a myth? What's something people think is true, you know, to be false?
It's not okay. I'm gonna. Okay, so ever since I started doing keto. I had to quit sugar because obviously that's part of keto. But I also am a sugar addict. Like, I have a serious problem when it comes to sugar. Like, guys, I can't even.
No tooth sweeter in this country than yours?
If you.
In this hemisphere?
Let me just tell you, the first day I started keto, my sugar withdrawal, I believe I was in the office. I was going through such a withdrawal, I could barely keep my head up. I couldn't talk to people because they would ask me a question. I'd be like, sentence too hard. Like, I just couldn't do anything. Like, that's how much sugar I needed in my body to survive for one day. For one day, I didn't eat sugar, and I was at a complete loss as a human being. And then, you know, I came around. I tried for a whole month to do keto straight and not cheat at any point. I went to a birthday party. I see a cake. I have to leave the room because I can't be. I'm not even joking with you. That's how much I like sugar that I could. So me and Iffy Wadiwe of Nerdificent, he was doing keto at the same time as me. I was literally texting him as if he is my sponsor, like being like, damn, Iffy, like there's a cake in the room. Like, I don't feel like I really want some cake. And he's like, don't do it. It's not worth it. You know, that's you got to just stick to it. It's OK. You can reward yourself after a month, but don't do it right. Like, that's how bad I am with sugar that I can't go to a birthday party because I know I will be so tempted. And I know it sounds like I'm being facetious. I'm not. I'm really fucked up over sugar. Like, I love sugar.
Like, everyone is like low-key addicted to sugar, and I don't know. I've never tried to live without it. I'm sure I'd lose my shit too.
Well, it's in so much of our food, even if you're not
sugar.
Even if you're not eating a candy bar, you're like, wait, man, what's in this ketchup? Oh, high fructose corn, everything's got fructose, it's everything. You know, there's sweet elements to it. It's hard to go fully sugar-free.
But I mean, I'm with Anna, or at least where Anna was before she made that keto change. I'm addicted to sugar. Like, I need to go to the grocery store and get something sugary if I don't have something sugary in the house.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Jack's got to have his
deal. It's not good,
what's the
guys.
Myth? What's the myth, Anna? That sugar is good
for you? So when you quit... Yes, sugar is actually really chill, guys. No.
Big sugar.
So brave.
A lot of people, when they quit sugar, they move on to, you know, natural sweeteners, or they try things like sugar alcohol. And I just want to say, sugar...
What's sugar alcohol?
Sugar alcohol, it's like...
Mike's Hard Lemonade.
It's like... I mean, I wouldn't be surprised. It's not like actual alcohol. I know it's called sugar alcohol, but it's like what is it? Xylitol. I never know how to say those words. It's basically just an ingredient used as a sweetener.
Got it.
It's like in Trident. It's in like a lot of sugar-free gums.
Yeah,
where a lot of people would have experienced it.
Yeah, but I personally think, in my experience, sugar alcohol, it made me poopy. Certain sugar alcohols, like maltitol or something like that, that apparently rises your blood sugar levels. And then sorbitol is what I was eating, causes bloating and diarrhea. So it's not great. I mean, it's a good substitute if you need it because you're diabetic or whatever, you have health issues. But I recommend personally to not fuck with sugar alcohol, but try different, more natural sweeteners like monk fruit. Because that doesn't affect you the same way, and it's not as like it doesn't feel as like processed and like so. I don't know. It doesn't make you feel shitty,
right?
In the end, when you're literally because you're shitty. I'm bloated and constipated because I instead of having actual sugar, I'm, you know, changing or putting sugar alcohol in instead, and it has the same effect. It makes things sweeter, but. It's actually, I just don't think it's good. And that's the myth. Sugar alcohol, it ain't good.
Go with monk fruit. Plus, a great marketing campaign.
I've never heard of monk fruit. This is new.
Monk fruit's a natural sweetener, and I really recommend it.
I'm real into a Trident, and it, like chewing Trident all day, I definitely noticed that effect, the like making you gassy and poopy and. Stuff like that.
Well, but Jack, to be fair, you're not telling people how you eat Trident. You unwrap single piece.
I eat the whole thing.
And like, you always say you call it your big league chew, and I'm like, bro, you're just eating all the Trident sticks in a pack, and you're like, big league chew.
Yeah, apparently a lot like other people take the wrapper off, and
I know.
Yeah, Anyways, guys, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back with POS.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zai Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global. Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. If you don't win your first bet, that's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back, and we are thrilled to have with us, coming from Minneapolis, the rapper, former Daily Zeitgeist guest at our Minneapolis live show and at our Minneapolis hotel room record, POS. What's going on, man?
What's going on, you guys? It is really good to see you, Zoom with you.
Yeah, man, it's great to see you. Obviously, been thinking about you a lot in the past couple days, and just wanted to kind of have you on and hear, you know, what things look like from your perspective right now in Minneapolis.
Well, I'll say it like this. It's super sad, and it's crazy. It is a pandemic and people are rioting, and I am too afraid to die to jump into a pandemic and get close with people for the most part anyway. I had a kidney transplant a few years back, so I'm not, I'm suppressed. I can't risk it, but I would, sure. I would be out there right now, even in a pandemic, if it wasn't like that. It's scary and it's sad. I woke up and saw the video before I even had the crust out of my eyes. And yeah, it's been emotional.
That's how it was. Yeah.
It's been emotional for days. I didn't realize what I was seeing until it was like halfway over. And then I like sat up in bed and just, you know, cried all day, man. This is not even a big city. Like,
yeah,
I could ride a bike to where it happened in a half hour, you know, drive there in 5 minutes. Like,
yeah, you can, I mean, all that, every city is experiencing the same thing to a certain extent, because whether it's LA, there are people demonstrating, shutting the 101 down, New Orleans, just everywhere. There are people just
because building, it's been pressured up.
Yeah. And every, you know, with every George Zimmerman that gets off and, you know, Eric Garner type death, another sort of pebble is put on the scales of our backs in terms of the emotional trauma we deal with as Black Americans, and have to continually witness the cycle of, here's the pattern. We get killed. There are no consequences. That signals to others, it's open season. And the frustrations you are seeing spill out into the streets is what, you know, that's what pain looks like. That's what feeling powerless looks like. It may look like look how powerful they're setting things down. No. That is a product of feeling powerless. And that is the only recourse you have to feel heard, because the words don't work anymore.
It's powerlessness. It's hurt. And it's rage, man. It's rage. Yeah. You know, it's rage. And nothing changes. Nothing. I don't know. Every time something like this happens, which is all the fucking time, people fight and people want to get something done to change something or to make like actual structural changes. But it seems like every city just doubles down. In Minneapolis, they are not proposing, but they are going for an $8 million budget increase for the Minneapolis Police Department.
Similar thing in LA. Yeah, what did you say, Miles? It was like a $3 billion being sunk into. And it feels like the expectation is, because there's a pandemic going on, that these sort of things can be passed through without anybody really noticing it. But
right.
Yeah, rather than like the things that matter, which are, you know, like subsidized housing, affordable housing,
exactly,
helping the unhoused. That's really the problem in this city, because it's not
just
the crime.
Hiring more people to reinforce the status quo. It's just, yeah.
Yeah, and that's...
it feels like on top of all of that, with Trump, it's so easy to blame everything on Trump. But in real life, like all these people who have had these bullshit agendas for years and years and years, all of a sudden, not only do they have like an open door with nobody paying attention, but they have somebody kind of on top of every system from the state level up who is there like, yeah, it's floodgates time, man. Do your thing.
Mm-hmm.
Just waving all the nonsense through. It is really hard and it is really frustrating. And yeah, like I said, I would be out there too.
What's it like, you know, because you have a son who's 20.
Yeah.
And
he was out there in a mask. He's out there every night. He's my kid. So he's been to protests when he was on my shoulders, you know. Mm-hmm. And now he's out there on his own, knowing how to do it and knowing where to be. And I'm scared, man. I'm scared. It's a pandemic. You can't be like, hey, I know you're already
wearing
a mask, but keep that distance too.
But yeah, there's no what other choice do we have?
Yeah.
You know, like we haven't, like we're death is on the doorstep either way,
man. And they're not just they're protesting at the precinct, and they're protesting at that officer's house.
Yeah, the murderer's house.
The murderer's house. They wouldn't deliver food to him last night, and they're just
chanting. I saw that.
Yeah, they're chanting. What's his name? George. Like outside.
Something Chauvin or whatever his name is.
Yeah. And there's a. He's been involved with 4 shootings or deaths already.
Hey, right.
I have no idea how he's still a cop.
Right.
The thing that struck me the most in that video is him leaning on this man's neck with his fucking hands in his pocket and the most casual look on his face.
Yeah.
You know, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
Oof.
And with the other cops just standing there too, just like casually observing it. It's just, yeah.
Yeah. I read that he had 18 prior complaints against him before this.
Yeah.
And no one did anything.
Yeah. Nobody does anything.
Slap on the wrist.
Sorry, it's hard to not just yell and get emotional.
No, and yeah. I think, and the thing that we have to also keep our eye on is that these systems are preserved by our legislators, and that's why it's so important that we elect people that aren't going to cape for these people. Amy Klobuchar declined to ever prosecute even this officer, this exact officer who killed him, who killed George Floyd. She had the opportunity to prosecute him and multiple police officers for excessive force and did not. And this is because we have this system in place that we have to, you know, the police are able to support, to reinforce our predatory white supremacist capitalist system. And that's,
yeah, it seems like that's what they are there for. That's who they're there to protect is fucking Target.
Yeah.
Everybody shops at Target. They got great stuff, whatever. But like, man, I don't care. I don't care to see a Target go up like that. It's more important at this point. Nobody expects reforms. Nobody believes anybody when they say they're going to change shit. Everybody just wants the whole thing abolished. Strike the whole thing down. Start over. You know.
Yeah.
And of course, we don't get there until this happens on the biggest scale forever. I don't know, man.
Yeah, no, I hear you. It's hard to articulate anything right now because
Yeah, man, it's hard to feel anything past just rage and hopeless, you know? And this is down the street. Yeah. There's drone shots that look like a fucking war zone, dude.
Yeah.
Are you pretty much staying home as of right now just because of the quarantining and everything?
Yeah, I have been just in my spot. I think, I mean, because of being sick and, you know, having a compromised immune system, and not necessarily knowing what to trust, I started quarantining maybe a week and a half before they said you gotta start quarantining. And I don't really plan on leaving until September. I got
so at least there's real treatment for it.
There's not only real treatment, but like real believable factual evidence that people know what the fuck is going on.
Okay. Yeah.
In real life, they stopped forcing people to stay inside right as we got the worst of it for us. We're seeing our peaks right now, right as everybody's going outside for summer and protesting. So like nothing that anybody says about this being safe or things are open means anything to me because I'll die. Like I'm not guaranteeing I'll die, guys, but I'm saying like so many people in our general age group aren't as worried as they should be because it came out as like a thing old people get.
Right.
Yeah. But that's not the case.
It's not the case, man. It's
yeah.
There's not enough known, man. So yeah, I'm camped out and I understand why people want to go protest and I really probably would be doing the same thing, but I feel like at this point there's gotta be, I don't know, man, where's the old anonymous at?
Yeah. Yeah,
exactly. What's the next step here? Yeah, I mean, yeah, Steph, so much love to you and the city of Minneapolis.
Yeah, man,
we're all feeling it, man. And
yeah,
I appreciate it. We all appreciate it here, speaking for the city, but it's America, man. It's everywhere.
Yeah.
You know, it won't be 2 weeks before this happens somewhere else.
Yeah, exactly.
And there's not much to say about it. I don't know. I appreciate you guys checking in, and I appreciate you guys for having a funny ass show that also manages to cover all the shit that is important.
Thank you for taking a second.
Yeah. Thanks
for
doing it
without people like
you,
man.
Hey.
Stay safe.
You guys stay safe too. Stay inside. Be really nice. All that stuff. Hey,
all right.
And if you're looking to, and if you're feeling powerless from afar, like most of us are, right now, there is a great way that you can help out if you have a little bit of money to kick to the Minnesota Freedom Fund. It's a community-based nonprofit that basically helps get protesters out of jail. So that's, well, we can like put it in the footnotes as well, but it's MinnesotaFreedomFund.org.
Yeah.
Hit the footnotes and give what you can.
And shout out to like all the listeners who are matching us, our donations, because honestly, man, activism is so important. And unfortunately, when you have, you know, you see how active, like how police deal with activists of a certain persuasion. Some people can scream their heads off with assault rifles in their hands. Other people come with tears in their eyes, holding signs, and are getting tear gassed, hitting with rubber bullets and things like that, and arrested. So these donations help, you know, tremendously, because a lot of people, unfortunately, because of the way this entire system is made up, can't even afford to bail themselves out. And so we need to collectively help each other in this sense, too.
Yeah, donate to the bail funds if you can, and to your local bail fund, because of how COVID has been spreading in prisons. We just need to, you know, get some fucking change going.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island, and secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
This is it. Your moment. This is your time to make your comeback with Purdue Global. When you come back with a Purdue Global degree, you create opportunity for yourself, your family, and your future. It's a degree you can be proud of, a degree that employers will trust and respect. Purdue Global offers working adults like you over 175 flexible degree programs to meet your specific career goals. These include associate, bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees and certificates. Purdue Global degree programs range from nursing to business to communication and more. Whatever your interest, we have the degree that will move you forward. You have the knowledge. You have the experience. Now it's time to get credit for the work you've done and earn the recognition you deserve with Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. You know you're worth it. We do too. So don't wait another second to get the degree that will take your career to the next level. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
And we're back. And what else is happening in the world of news? State Representative Andrew Lewis, who's a Republican, turns out had tested positive for COVID on May 20th. And a Democrat, a state representative who's a Democrat, a guy named Brian Sims, was not thrilled with the fact that he didn't tell anybody. He told his GOP colleagues that he had tested positive and like got them to quarantine, but he didn't tell his Democratic colleagues who he had exposed to the virus that he had exposed them, and that endangers them, it endangers their families. It's pretty wild.
This live stream he was on was he was cursing up a storm, as you would, because a lot of these Democratic state legislators are saying they found out from the fucking news that this guy had tested positive for COVID. Right. They're like, I've been working with this. What the fuck are you telling? Wait, how the fuck did we not hear about this? How did everybody on the right side of the building know that this guy had tested positive and were doing what they can, but no one told Democrats? Like, what other purpose is there except for a really fucked up, malicious reason to do that?
Yeah.
And that was sort of like the tone of his entire like live stream, as well as from a many other Democratic lawmakers. But the reason he was saying that he didn't tell people was actually because of his privacy. What he said was, I can confirm every member or staff member who met the criteria for exposure was immediately contacted and required to self-isolate for 14 days, except for Democrats. Out of respect for my family and those who I may have exposed, I chose to keep my positive case private. Now that I have fully recovered and completed the quarantine as required by the Department of Health, I now feel it's important or appropriate time to share this information with the public and my constituents. What the fuck?
That doesn't make any sense.
No.
We already know what the dangers are. We already know about being asymptomatic. We already know about the dangers. You go home, you live with other people, you have elderly family members you may have to be taken care of. That is it's just so dark and despicable. And like, it's turning into like a weird thing. We were like, we would, you know, make a joke about it, be like, wait, what do you see Republicans trying to infect Democrats with COVID?
Right.
Like, that's kind of the vibe of this thing.
Yeah. Not that I'm expecting it to happen, but there should be some kind of fucking consequence for doing that. And because, you know, it's not like this rep is like hurting for PTO. It's not a situation like that where he's like, I gotta be at work, you know, because I can't afford, like, he can afford to not be at work. He shouldn't be at work. Yeah, there's like no, there's just no, and it looks like there's just no consequence in place for that, so it just won't happen.
Yeah, I mean, it's criminally negligent at very least to hide your diagnosis from people who, like, this, like, the contact tracing is so important. And if suddenly someone in your family fell, and you're like, how the fuck did that happen? And then you find out, oh, it could have, this, it's just so dark, and it absolutely reeks of the lack of like respect for someone's humanity or just ability to live when you're like, okay, don't tell the Democrats that I got COVID, okay? Like, don't, that this will be so funny when they find out. They're gonna lose it,
right?
So
like, what?
Yeah,
did they think that the Democrats were gonna like weaponize? Like, I can't even like trace the logic of like what the cynical reasoning is.
I think that's a bad person who doesn't care for human life and thinks him and his people matter than other people, which is the theme of this country. And I expect nothing less from someone who thinks that he can act like that. You have to tell people.
Yeah. You know, it's a white supremacist party that implies a certain amount of a certain inability to view other people who are different from you as human. So. All right. And speaking of hiding shit, the Trump administration is set to break another precedent. The Council of Economic Advisors is going to not release for public consumption their economic projections in July or August, even though this is kind of unprecedented, right?
Yeah. I mean, it's like, wait, what do you mean? You do this all the time. You tell us what the projection is. This is the internal economic team. But I think because everyone knows the economy is so bad and Trump is all about like, if you don't talk about it, then it's not happening. That somehow by suppressing this economic data that people won't notice things are bad because their day-to-day lives, they're not seeing that there's record unemployment. I'm not quite, I mean, I get that it prevents a headline of saying like, look at this projection, but either way, people understand that things are not good, that things absolutely are not good with the economy. But it's just the same thing. Like the take from the White House is essentially saying like, well, you know, with this whole thing, like a lot of the data is unreliable because of the pandemic. And like they say, quote, it's foolish to demand such a forecast simply because that is business as usual. Particularly when that forecast may mislead the public, is what the official said.
What?
Yeah. I don't, this is just so,
it's,
you know,
such an underreaction to
what
is, it's just like,
I don't understand. So they're saying, no, sorry. Sometimes I'm very slow with this sort of
reality
stuff.
It makes them look bad.
Okay, so they're saying that,
and that would mislead the public.
The facts,
so therefore,
would confuse us, is what they're saying.
Right. Yeah, basically.
The subtext is, it's going to look bad, but that's actually not the deal. And then we don't want people to be like, oh, it's going to be all bad, and mislead them into thinking the economy's bad, because it's actually so good. And that's why.
But these are things.
It's literally
that,
like Titanic just hitting the iceberg. Of like, don't tell anyone anything's going on. They'll just find out when their feet hit the water. Like,
hey, string quartet. Play some more Vivaldi. Fuck,
They're fucking. Yeah, they're doing. Whatever, nearer my God to thee, just hoping no one notices.
It's like Chernobyl. Remember when they were like, just don't say anything.
No, right. Like, and that's the thing. Like, it's the same thing as like, it's like a fire is in the back part of your house and you're receiving guests and someone's like, there's a fire, but shut the fuck up, man. It's not burning in the front of the house.
Look,
and I don't want to, I don't want to mislead my guests, but it's like, but the fire will get to you eventually.
Yeah.
Because there's no, unless you are sitting on like a $5 trillion stimulus package that's just for working people. I don't know how you're going to be like, see what I did, man? I really, really, really helped us out of this one.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's really amazing. Like, I think the more I see from America in action, the more it's like the Chernobyl thing is exactly right. They're trying to run this like an authoritarian, communist state, but because they're the party that is like the jingoistic, xenophobic, anti-communists, they get away with it. It's all just like, it's all just triangulation, and like that they can do the thing that the left could never get away with, because like the thing that they're known for is just being like small government, even though they spend more money than the average Democratic administration,
or steal more money than the, they steal more money
and
than the average Democratic
steal and
spend. Administration.
Everyone's like, I can see the black smoke though.
It is time. We are at the weekend, so it's time to figure out what we are going to be rewatching or watching this weekend. I'm going to run through the Netflix top 10. So there is a Jeffrey Epstein documentary at number one. And I don't know, like that's one that I'm going to watch one way or another.
I was like, I'm going to watch it, but do I want to talk or think about it?
I'll watch in horror and silence.
Yeah.
Uncut Gems is number two. Sweet Magnolias, which was on the top 10 last week. And it seems like
Jamie
it's Steel Magnolias as a series.
She's back 12 years in on the bench, baby. She's
quarrying. She was quarrying way before. No, Jamie Lynn. Okay, I'm interested.
They say it's a small town in the south called Serenity, and it's based on Cheryl Woods' novels, and follows friends Maddie, Helen, and Dana Sue as they balance their families, friendships, and love lives.
That sounds like something.
I think
from
somebody
needs
to watch that, because it does have some staying power. Like, it was in the top five last week. And is hanging around. So Sweet Magnolias. We have Avatar at four still. It was number one last week. Dead to Me, still hanging in there. Riverdale. History 101 is a new one. Just seems to be a history documentary about big buzzy things like McDonald's and Coke and shit like that. Just Go With It, which is apparently an Adam Sandler movie.
That came out in the summer.
I have a question about the Netflix top 10. Has there ever been any like conspiracy theories about it? Because sometimes you see the Netflix top 10 and you're like, I just don't. I'm like, I feel like sometimes it's just like, what does Netflix feel like telling you everyone is watching? And there's no, I mean, who is really to say? Because they don't tell you their numbers about really anything.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're just like, I think they might just be tossing this one for a fun one.
I think what they do is they probably weighted like 65% of the slots have to go to Netflix originals.
Like, right, look like at there all, has to be some algorithm in place.
Or because they've just signed a new licensing deal, they want a window, shop window, their new content that you might not have heard of to make sure you're now getting hooked on this new content that they brought on. Either way, like I've never looked at this and been like, yeah, this is exactly what America's thinking. I think usually it's like, this is a great marketing tool.
My theory is like, if something doesn't totally make sense in the top 10 and stuff, like Just Go With It sort of makes sense because Netflix and Adam Sandler are so one and the same. But like, if something doesn't totally make sense, I feel like it will make sense in a year and a half because Netflix has some secret deal to reboot something. And that's why they're like pushing it on you. But
right.
Maybe. The Just Go With It universe. I hear they're expanding the Just Go With It universe into a multi-franchise.
The JGIU.
Deal. Yeah.
Maybe they just
Flash
just go
is
with
at number
it.
9, and then The Lovebirds is at number 10. That's the Kumail Issa Rae rom-com / adventure. The trailer
directed by Michael Showalter.
Oh, is really? It? The trailer looked funny to me.
I liked it.
But that's one that came out in the past couple days. And I feel like they would cram into the top 10 if it wasn't earning a spot on the top 10.
Right. They're just like, let's get our money's worth and keep it hanging in.
Yeah. And then, you know, there's all sorts of other things on streaming. So it doesn't need to be the Netflix top 10.
Jamie, are you interested? So many of them.
Yeah. Are you interested in Sweet Magnolias? If not, I'm happy to watch a couple episodes of that.
Joanna Garcia.
I'll try it. Sure.
You want to do Sweet Magnolias?
Sweet Magnolias or Cum Slut Gems. Either one's good with me.
Cum Slut Gems.
Do you think Sweet Magnolias?
Have you seen Uncut Gems?
I already watched it since it came out on Netflix. And I saw it in theaters.
Do you guys think Sweet Magnolia is an extension of the Reba universe?
Really?
It is?
No, I'm asking because Joanna Garcia played Reba's daughter in Reba. So potentially, remember she got married to, what's his name, who ends up in Shameless? I forget his name. But then she had a child and then it was Rocky. So there is a chance that Sweet Magnolias is after she divorces that idiot and moves to Magnolia Town or whatever this...
Serenity,
and that's Serenity the extended
now.
Reba universe. Sweet Magnolias.
Okay, I can do Epstein. I can do Avatar. What do you think, Miles?
I think I'm gonna watch The Lovebirds.
It was good.
The
I
Lovebirds.
Liked it.
Yeah,
it does look good. Good.
I mean, it's
the
just,
reviews have been pretty good.
It's nice to see people of color in a romance. Like it's like
that's
so
exactly what I want to see.
Heard
right
of?
Now.
Like it's so like at one point I'm like, damn, like this is just about people of color like falling in love. This is, I truly was like, that's so wild. Like you're allowed to have brown people fall in love on like right. as the main people, like the main people falling in love.
It's novel. Yeah. Given the tone of most films we see.
Okay, then I'll watch the Epstein one and have a good time figuring
we got
it out. I already talked about
swath
that.
A of things going on this
dude,
week.
Dude, Jack's
going
to start his Epstein review off. He goes, I think it's an attack on postmodernism. Whoa.
Wait, I'm sorry. Are you trying to be postmodern or are you criticizing postmodernism, Epstein?
Oh my God. Yeah, that's. I'm actually excited that you're looking because your mind for the conspiracies and just unsavory characters in general, I think. You're the gears are gonna be a moving.
I have a question. Do you guys know the background of the Epstein doc and like how they were able to make it so quickly?
No.
I don't.
Oh. It was supposed to be a 30 for 30, right?
Oh, is that what it was? And then they were like, moving up to the big leagues.
No, I don't know what it is. Yeah, I have no
30
idea.
For 30.
It's directed by Lisa Bryant, produced by Joe Berlinger, Radical Media, and crime author James Patterson, who published a book about Epstein in 2016.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Oh, damn.
What feels like produced that. By, what's her name?
Ghislaine Maxwell.
Ghislaine is.
So there is a new Epstein book that suggests that Ghislaine Maxwell was having an affair with Bill Clinton.
I kind of like that theory, because there's a part of me that kind of believes that Hillary Clinton is fine with her husband having sex with whoever, because it's kind of like, well, I mean, then he's not bothering me. Like, doesn't she have that vibe that of like, honestly,
couple that's been married 60 years?
But yeah, but also like is kind of like a little progressive in the manner of like, honestly, like who am I to hold him back, you know? And you know, right.
That's progressive.
Well,
repeatedly committing transgressions against his wife.
But if she's okay with it and they have an open relationship in that sense, because she's Hillary and I don't know what she's so weird to me. Like, I never know what I don't know. She's like a weird blob of like intensity and capitalism. And I don't know what she's up to, that I would believe that she lives in that world of like one percenters who they're like, whatever.
Right.
You know?
I can't think of a headline that I care less about than someone's affair with Bill Clinton.
Yeah. Right. Like, you're just like, we've done this. We've.
Yeah, we get it. Like, tell me something fucking like worthwhile.
I'm running out of headspace for Clinton information.
It's kind of amazing to me that this is like the best case scenario, because he was on so many of those Epstein like planes.
Yeah.
Like, right.
Statutory Rape Express planes that. The fact that he is having an ongoing affair with like a sexual predator is like the best case scenario, because it would be.
Never forget, he said he had an affair with Monica Lewinsky and basically threw her under the bus because he had anxiety.
He had anxiety. And this new book also says that he says that the reason he did it was because she was the only woman in the White House at the time, like literally physically in the White House.
And that
during the government shutdown
is her biggest crime.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly.
How dare you?
What are you talking about?
Are you out of your mind, Monica? Being the only woman surrounded by the horniest president?
I get it. Sorry.
Yeah, never mind.
She was the only one?
When you think about it, she owes him an apology.
Yeah. you should have been hotter. Instead, I had to settle for you because you were the only one in the building.
Like, he is.
What the fuck?
Stop letting him talk.
This is the logic of the people in power, y'all.
Really briefly, before we go, while we're on the subject of movies, there's new details that suggest that Tom Cruise making a movie in space thing might actually be real. Like, there's actually a director attached, the director of Go. The director of Go and Live, Die, Repeat.
Wait,
it was like
Go
a 90s
from
movie.
1998?
Yeah, yeah.
What?
It was like the most
that had
90s.
Katie Holmes?
90. Yeah, Doug Liman. He's like directed a bunch of Tom Cruise movies, and he made Live, Die, Repeat / Edge of Tomorrow with Tom Cruise.
Wow, I didn't realize. Yeah. Or wait, not.
Yeah. He apparently wrote the first draft of the script and has been attached all along. But this makes total sense to me the more I learn about it, that it's just Tom Cruise wanting to go to space. And like for a long time, the most expensive shot in the history of movies was the shot at the beginning of Vanilla Sky, when Tom Cruise is like driving to work and then realizes the city's totally empty and gets out of his car and runs around Times Square and it's empty. That was like, they had to shut down Times Square to do that. It was like a $2 million for every 10 second shot. And it was just for a dream sequence. And it was just, it had nothing to do with the plot. And we know how Tom Cruise likes to run around in movies. So, like, I feel like his movie career is just like a vehicle for him to do things that he thinks are cool, like sprinting through an empty Times Square, or in this case, like, this is going to be so unnecessarily expensive. They're going to have to send an entire, like, film crew up to space to, like, shoot him doing these things so that it will look...
And it's going to come off flawlessly, too, I'm going to add.
Right. Yeah. Like, as we just saw on Wednesday, it's hard to shoot people into space. Yeah, firing people into space is hard.
But it's like with NASA and SpaceX, right, you're saying? Like, it's...
Yeah,
it's not,
so it's partnering...
It'll just be like Space Force propaganda in the same way Transformers is like, hey, you really should join the Marines, Force, don't you think?
Right. Yeah. Is it Megan Fox working hot on this Camaro?
I hope it's just a remake of Rocket Man with Harlan Williams. You guys remember that movie?
Yeah, well, in a way, I salute Tom Cruise for finding a medium in which he can just basically act out whatever he wants to do under the guise of doing a movie, much in the same way I use podcasting to be like, I'm going to smoke weed and watch reality TV. I would like a gravity blanket. Thank you. I'm a low stakes Tom Cruise who just likes to sit.
But if it costs $20 million for every minute of 420 Day Fiancé that you recorded, that would be...
It does.
That'd be another thing.
It does cost that.
Oh, Anna. I haven't been looking at the books.
Don't look at the book. Hey, Anna, cook the books.
That's what I'm doing, baby. I've got a laundromat I'm running now.
Well, Anna, it's been a pleasure having you, as always.
Thank you. I just want to remind everyone that Tom Cruise does have literal human slaves working to make sure his life goes round in Scientology. Just a quick reminder.
Yep.
Not a great person. Just believes he's a great person because everyone is paid around him to tell him.
No one's ever told him he's not.
Yeah,
because he will look everybody on set in the eye and shake their hand.
Doesn't mean he does not have literally a organization/cult holding him up. Just saying. That's
his
all
son
I think
is
about.
A sick DJ, though.
All I think about when I see Tom Cruise.
Every rich man's son is a sick DJ.
I know, that's true. When I think of Tom Cruise, I literally all I see is the hole from Scientology. You know, the hole where they send the executives to be like basically abused. That's all
and they,
I think
like,
about.
Have to fight each other and shit.
Yeah, and I'm like, well, you're built on that, so I don't care for this.
Fun fact: when I used to work at Laser Tag, I did a private Laser Tag birthday for that young Connor Cruise and his sister at the time. No. They bought the whole place out,
of course,
and Tom Cruise looked every staff member in the eye and shook their hand.
Jeez.
Hi, I'm Tom. Great to meet you. Thanks so much. And I'm like, oh shit.
That's dark.
Like, sir, just go eat your pizza. Like,
sir, just please put two hands on the laser during the game, or else
love to meet the guy who made this pizza.
I imagine him
just sprints out the door to Domino's to shake the hand of every person who. Yeah.
Just imagine him at Chuck E. Cheese shaking the hands of the animatronics for
he
being
needs
there
to stay the
and
fuck
playing.
Chuck, say your name's Chuck Charles
Pasquale.
Tom Cruise, great to meet you, man. Thanks for being here.
Awesome. Anna, where can people find you, follow you?
Hey, guys, I'm always here on this show, so you don't have to thank me for being here. I just happened to pull my mic down.
Anna, pull your mic
down. Thank you for pulling your mic down with us.
Yeah. I'm at Anna Hosnier on Twitter. Please check out either one of my shows, Ethnically Ambiguous, which is all about being a person of color in America. We're going to be talking a lot about what's going on currently. And we talk actually, you know, our most recent episode called We Are Not Just the Color of Our Skin. I would recommend checking that out because we talk all about how this entire country was built by white people, yet they still have the nerve to ask us to behave. There's just a lot to unpack in the way that how white people treat people of color and then act as if they haven't built this entire country to systematically oppress them at the same time. So, check that out. And then if you would like to check out something on a lighter note, my podcasts are really all over the place. But check out, maybe you watch Below Deck, maybe you check out Bravo shows, maybe you just like reality TV in general. You don't have to watch Below Deck to check out Deckheads.
Nope.
Me and Nick Turner, we have a lot of fun. We do a lot of boat facts, which is just like all over the place where Nick tells me a fact about boats or just water or just something in general. Like we recently learned that most cruise ships have morgues in them because people die on boats. I mean, I guess that was kind of a dark one, but, you know.
That's very interesting.
Just some lighthearted fare.
Also, like, you know, a lot of boats back in the day, they didn't allow whistling on. You couldn't just casually whistle because whistling is how you communicate certain things on boats. So,
right.
To do that was frowned upon. Mm. And we have a lot of fun stuff going on. And then we just break down the show. And a lot of it is kind of breaking down how rich people treat lower class, or in their eyes, lower class folk. And we have a lot of fun with that. And we talk a lot about our favorite cast members. Nick falls in love with a new woman on the show every season. And I have to talk him down to remind him he has a girlfriend. So it's a lot of fun.
You love to see it.
You'll love to see Nick fall in love with someone who in the end turns out to be very problematic, and it looks real bad on him. It's real fun. It's fun to point it out. And Nick Turner also tries to convince me that he is an immigrant because his mom technically immigrated here at 7 years old from Jamaica. So it's a lot of like a fight back and forth between us, but we have a lot of fun. It's all a good nature. We're trying to get iHeartRadio to charter a yacht for us. We'll see how it goes. And the biggest part is we record from below deck. That's right. Podcasters are lower than the staff on a super yacht. So that's where we are at all times, in the bilge.
In the sea.
We're in the bilge, literally, where they keep all the storage. So that's where we are. So check that out.
Is there a tweet or some other act of social media you've been enjoying?
Young Nick at the Brat wrote, y'all notice them scam likely calls stopped? Yeah, them motherfuckers lost their job too. Which I thought was interesting.
True.
Have you noticed
well,
that?
They're less frequent. I saw that tweet this morning too, and I was like, that's true. And then like 5 minutes later, Scamuel likely, right on time.
But it's definitely less like it was every day. My man's an essential employee. Scam likely, essential.
Essential.
Jamie, it's been a pleasure having you back on. Where can people find you, and what's a tweet you've been enjoying?
So you can find me on Twitter at Jamie Loftus Help, Instagram at Jamie Christ Superstar. I'm gonna shout out my boy Nick Sorelli at Nick Sorelli. All the stories on Some Good News are just like a little boy dressed up like Lord Farquaad ate an entire blueberry pie in his treehouse, and it made an old man realize that he wanted to fuck his wife again. And then I'm going to shout out Disneyland to go. One of my favorites. When we reopen, our maximum capacity will be 2.
Miles, where can people find you, and what is a tweet you've been enjoying?
Twitter, Instagram, PlayStation Network, Miles of Gray. And also my other podcast, 420 Day Fiance. Also check out High and Mighty. I'm on High and Mighty this week with Gabrus, talking about movie gadgets and such. It was a very good time. Raucous good time. A thing that I like, a tweet that I like. First one is from Clickhole. I haven't laughed at a Clickhole tweet in a long time. It's a photo of Adam Driver. And it says, Adam Driver said what? And the quote is, what can I say, baby? I've got rat fever. Adam Driver. And then in italics, on why he's dragging a sleeping bag full of rats to church with him. I just don't. Like, what the fuck is that? And then... one more that feels very good because a lot of people seem to have takes on looting and such. At rtyson82 tweets, if you're mad about looting, wait till you find about how capitalism works.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, there's an Onion headline. Man questions if it really necessary for protesters to be black.
oh my gosh.
Yo, the Onion does not miss. Like, the last fucking year and a half. Unmissable.
And then Jay Poe tweeted, whenever you feel alone, remember that there are a lot of people in your life that hate you. You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we going to ride out on today?
Oh, new Kruang Bin. Love them. Their vibrations are so dreamy and organic, fair trade, non-GMO, and again, great summer vibes. If the sun's coming out, just put this in your headphones. This new Kruang Bin track is called So We Won't Forget, and it's just great. Again, their dreamy guitars and rhythm section is so tight, the bass and guitars, everything is
Again, Krongbin. They basically canvas you.
All right. Well, we're going to ride out on that. The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That's going to do it for this morning. We'll be back this afternoon to tell you what's trending, and we will talk to you then. Bye.
Bye.
Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at CedarPoint.com.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.